Yes, yes, we give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. Go ahead, church. Go ahead, church. We give you glory, Lord. We will bless you, Jesus. We're going to live up to the words of that song. We will bless you. You have blessed us. That's right. Go ahead. Let's give him some more. Yes. 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 Worthy. Worthy. However much you want to do that, you are welcome to do that. He's worthy, isn't he? And there's not a have to in this service today. There's a want to in this service. I know we're supposed to, but the want to. When we sang that word Lord in that first line, and his lordship, it almost makes you feel unworthy to say the word or sing the word. How great he is. Would you just reach down another time into your soul and let's just pour out some more praise to you, Lord. We give it to you. We give it to you, Lord. We give it to you. Yes, and you're worthy. You've loved us and we love you back now. Yes, you've loved us previously and we've loved you previously. I'm glad we know you're going to love us in our future. Help us to have that commitment to love you in our future. Thank you for the present love that you are and you give to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I give honor to Brother and Sister Graham who are with us today. For a long time, Brother Graham has, his voice and his ministry has impacted United Pentecostal Church. And so he has had an impact in that way. But in recent days, the Lord has chosen to set him in another role of leadership, one of the main key roles of the United Pentecostal Church. I feel very confident in that leadership. Thank you, Brother Graham, for not only what you can do, but what you and Sister Graham are. I give you honor today. And he asked to remain in the congregation. And it's the best thing to obey your leaders, especially the one that handles your fellowship card. We love you. Thank you for choosing to be with us today. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Ah. Presence of God. It's not always easy for this flesh to handle, but flesh isn't supposed to handle it. We're supposed to get out in that river where there's waters to swim in. Hallelujah. And let the buoyancy of the Spirit take control. And that's where we are today. The Lord has really impressed me to preach a series of messages on him being the I Am. And I'm going to read from Exodus 3 again in Matthew 16. Know that we have some good note takers here that mark down where the text comes from. But there's so much about God you can read from the same text and preach a totally different message. But even if I preach the same one and it's about him, it'd be okay, right? I mean, we sing the same songs over and over, so. So, This is Moses at the burning bush and God meeting him. And Moses says to God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, this is what you should say to the children of Israel. I am has sent me unto you. It doesn't, sometimes the way it comes out in our English, it doesn't sound at first like it makes a whole lot of sense. But that phrase, I am, is another form of the name Jehovah. And in this tense, the phrase frames it to mean this is the potential of what is about to be. In other words, I am about to deliver you from Egypt. And that was a revelation to the people as he came, and to Pharaoh as he came, saying, I am has sent me. And when the people heard I am, it was Jehovah saying, I'm about to do something. Now, one of the reasons that the Lord has impressed upon me to preach this series of I Am messages is because he wants to, and he is about to, reveal himself in every aspect that he spoke back then. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the light. And then he continues on throughout the discourse of his message with other I am statements. And in Jesus' ministry, they were asking about who Jesus was. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 16:13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The Lord's concerned. He wants men and women to know who he is. He wants us to tell him. And they answered, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He wants to know who he is in our lives. What does he mean to us? And Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. These questions of Jesus, framed with the I am phrase in them, was no accident. He was tying this back to that Exodus 3. He was letting them know, I'm the same one that was speaking to Moses. I am. And when he said, I'm the truth and the life and the way, he was saying, I am about to be the truth in your life and the way for your life and the new life that you need in your life. And when he said, I'm the light, he's saying, I'm about to burst into and dawn into your life. And if you need either one of those today, I'm not preaching those topics today, but if you need light, God's going to be your light. Jesus is real. His presence is real. And he wants to manifest himself. You see, these were more than just some neat titles that Jesus was coming up with for himself or for us to use as subject matter of Sunday school lessons or messages. When he said, I am light, truth, life, and way, he's saying, I'm about to be that if you will let me be that in your life. And God wants to do that, and I feel a hunger and a desire here that says, God, we want you to do that. Would you praise him as the great I am and just let him know, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you're about to do, I want to allow you right now from this pulpit and in this congregation. I want to allow you to do whatever it is that you are proclaiming yourself as the I am to be and to do. I thank you now. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the things that Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Bread is one of the basics for survival. Jesus was saying, I am your survival. I am what you need to survive. And this survival is not the barely get by survival. God does not intend for us to barely get by. Now, when our strength is depleted, our emotional or our physical strength is depleted, it's okay to feel like and to say, man, I am barely making it. But when we are barely surviving, there is a God who is our total survival, and he has everything, every nutrient, every vitamin that you need to be able to survive. God doesn't want us just to barely survive. He doesn't want us just to barely make it into heaven. I want to stop and say that God's church is going to be strong. It's going to be vibrant. It's going to be apostolic. It's going to be full of the power of God. Men and women who are leaders and who preach this gospel are going to be more anointed than they have ever been. Saints of God such as you are going to be strengthened and anointed and spirit-led in this last day. He is the bread of life. We've got to have his word to survive. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread of this life alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We do not live by this life's resources alone, but we depend upon the word of God. When somebody says, well, what are you going to do about that loss of job situation? We're going to the book and read how he is Jehovah Jireh. When we suffer sickness or loss, we're going to go to the word of God and say, our God is our healer. Our God is our comforter. Everything we need to totally survive is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he delights in us not only needing him, but wanting him. That's why he gives us something we've craved physically all of our life on a daily basis, food. Is anybody hungry right now? Was there any day this week you haven't been hungry? Now, some days more than others. Is there any day this year? Is there any day last year? In other words, it's a daily and a common basic need, something that we crave. Jesus said, not only do I want you to need me, but I also want you to want me as the bread of life. And Jesus just isn't any other bread. Could you put that scripture back up there, Brother Jace? Not just any bread, but he is the bread that comes to us, the bread of life, he said. Life. Now, there are two words in the Bible translated into our English word life. One of them is bios, which simply means physical life, like breath in our lungs. It's very, very physical and literal. It's talking about physical life. And there are times in the scripture when that word is used. But there's a second word that is used 135 times. It's the word that's used here. It means vitality. It means to be possessed with strength and vitality. It means fullness of life. The word about life or breath in our lungs is used 10 times. This word here about quality of life is used over 125 times in the scripture. You see, God does not want us just to be a shell of an existence that has breath in our lungs. But I'm just wondering if the multiplied usage of that word so many more times than only the physical breath in our lungs, if that multiplied usage is God saying to us, I want you to really have a vitality of life. Or in his words, I want you to have abundant life. And I know that this life presses on us, and all of us have faced circumstances this week and we'll face them. And sometimes we feel like preaching such as this is pie in the sky. But it is not. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of quality. He's the bread of vitality. And yes, we will have difficulty. And yes, we will have struggle. But there is an abundant life that God wants you to have. A victorious life. God doesn't want us to go through life with our lower lip shoveling and scooping dust and dirt. But he wants us to lift our head. And again, I make room. I know. I have those days, and I know that you have them too, where we go through difficulty and there's some discouragement and some circumstances. But when we're going through the circumstance, we got to remember we've got the bread of life. I don't have, somebody needs to get this today. I don't have to live defeated. You do not have to live discouraged. Because the bread of life, the bread of his word, the bread of his existence is a life of vitality. Whew. It's not the way we live, the life we live. Mike and Kim used to sing that song, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like him. Nobody's making me do it. I think there was one line in there that said, nobody's holding a gun to my head. Nobody's forcing me to do this. And I often think back to the testimony of Brother Phil Black, who is rather reserved to a great degree, but some men were kind of laughing at him. They knew his witness when he worked and when he flew as the pilot for Ozark and TWA Airlines. They knew him, and they were kind of making fun. He said, look, he said, don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. He understood. He'd taken a piece of that bread. He'd taken a bite out of that loaf. He'd said, when I get hungry, I know where to go. And it's not just any bread. It's the bread of life. And there is not, this means I'm going to have fresh strength. This means I'm going to be able to preach a little longer. Oh, God. Get on to the next I am, Pastor. Right? Woo! Somebody needs to take a bite. Somebody needs to assimilate. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to assimilate the bread of life. You're not defeated. He's your God. This world may be against you, but if God is for us, who can be against us? Receive his word. He's the bread of life. There's no sense in preaching about it and not doing it. That'll get you in trouble being a hypocrite. You better leave it out, live it out and eat it down. He said, I am more than just breath in your lungs. He is that. That's where we get it. From him. He's the bread of the life that we live. But he's the source of true life. Spiritual, present. And not only in this world, but we're looking forward to another life. The bread of life. That bread right here is going to get us to eternity. This world's not our home. The grave is not the end. Hallelujah. Those graves that we've been laying some precious people in, That's not a dead end. That's a doorway. We just slipped them into a doorway. And I know there is pain, and I know there is sorrow, and I know there is the feeling of grief because of the way that we are made up. But really, that's not the end of the story. Not the ones we've been burying. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 I'm looking forward to seeing Roy Richardson some glad day. I'm looking forward to seeing Duke Brady and Joanna West someday. That was a doorway because it's life. Drew, it's life. He's the bread of life. It's more than just some mental thing. This is a soul thing. He is the bread of our soul. Woo. It's a rare vitality that we receive when we receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, there's an anointing in here today to encourage somebody. There is the lifting hand and the lifting power. There is sustenance for you to be able to take, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That bread, He's the source of true life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Would you say that with me? I am the bread of life. We're not the life. Jesus Christ is the life. Would you praise Him together right now for being that I am, Lord? I praise You right now. That's right. Go ahead. Go ahead, students. Go ahead, elder. Go ahead, child of God. If you'll lift Him up, He's going to manifest Himself. Woo! Yes. Yes, yes. And then He said in John 10 and 11, I am. Jesus purposefully phrased His statements so that those Jews who were hearing Him in His ministry would take that phrase and say, we've read that before. We read about that encounter that Moses had, our leader Moses had with Jehovah. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He repeats it. Now, God never wastes words. And He wanted all of the space in the scripture that He knew would be revealed to us. He wanted it well used. So there's a particular reason He would repeat the very same phrase. He was driving it home to us. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. There are different personality tests that compare people to animals. And according to those profiles, we're either like a lion, an otter, a golden retriever, and then the list could go on. But according to the Lord, we're most like sheep. That's what this psychologist said. That's what this personality test said. We are most like sheep. Now, if you read about sheep, if you've got tender feelings, you could have them hurt. Because sheep are dumb. Who said that? I love you. That didn't do it. I know. I can tell. At least that's what the farmers say. I do believe them. Thankfully, if we are like sheep, God is like a shepherd. That's that great idea in Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. David, a former shepherd, shows how God faithfully tends to all of our life's needs. Others use the phrase Jesus used here in John chapter 10. But in the description, He didn't just say, I'm the shepherd. He said, I am the, I am the good shepherd. It means, one of its definitions is valuable. Where would we be if the Lord had not been watching over us, leading us, guiding us, and protecting us and providing for us? He's valuable. Another one of the definitions is he's better. There's no shepherd like the great good shepherd. He's beautiful and he's worthy. He's good in at least two senses that I will quickly mention. He's good in that he does a good job. He does a good job shepherding. No, he leads us down those trails. That's because he made those trails. Nobody can guide and lead like the God that we serve. Jesus is the good shepherd. And then he's good in the sense of what he does for us. What he protects, how he protects us. And it's good that he loves us and he gives us good things and he gives us good provisions. The shepherd, and when you even look at the root word that term shepherd comes from, it literally means to feed, to tend, to lead into pastures of feeding. Jesus, when he said, I am the good shepherd, he was saying to all of us, I'm the one who can and will lead and take care of you. And I feel to pause right here and say, perhaps there's somebody that feels like that you have not allowed the Lord to be the shepherd that he wants to be in your life. And maybe you've walked down other trails, but there is a pathway of salvation and the Lord is still your shepherd. And if you will follow him, if you will follow the Spirit that is in this room today, if you'll walk down that trail of repentance and say, Lord, I'm sorry, you will be forgiven. If you will walk the trail of water baptism and be baptized, if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to be an under shepherd, a voice for the main shepherd, and say, these waters are ready. This is a wonderful day. It's the right day. This is the day that you should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. They will all be washed away, and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can receive it. And if anything is making you doubt that, the shepherd is leading you that direction. In fact, this is not even in my notes right here, but the shepherd's leading right now. And we better not try to overcome the shepherd. And the shepherd's wanting somebody to know, I want to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost today. I want to lead you and guide you into a full relationship, and it is involving speaking with tongues, but there's so much more. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Receiving the Holy Ghost is receiving the I am. It's receiving the bread of life, the light, the life, the truth, the way, and the shepherd. He's so good. He can take care of us. And to do all of that tending and that caring, and that leading, we know that a shepherd has to be up close and personal and very much aware of the needs of a person. The greatest need is the need I just addressed. The greatest need of any life. Hear me, everybody, because I want us to get this. And if you already have salvation, let this go into your soul for those that you are leading and discipling and witnessing to and praying for. The greatest need of any person is salvation. And the shepherd wants everybody to have his salvation. This good shepherd, Isaiah wrote about him before he ever came physically on the scene. All we like sheep have gone astray. Here's the testimony of our salvation pathway. We were going astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Everybody needs the grace and the love and the mercy of God. I know it's very easy to look around in a setting like this and see people who seem to readily know how to worship him, and their appearance is clean cut and righteous, and you can just feel their spirit emanating from them. and you feel that righteousness. But it's not always been that way. But the great shepherd led us into a life change. We had gone out of the way, gone our own way. There's a danger in going our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, the good shepherd, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The good shepherd has done exactly what he said in John 10. He has given his life for the sheep. Isn't it amazing? The shepherd became the sheep. The shepherd became the spotless, pure, perfect lamb whose blood was shed so that our sins could be covered and we could be redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. I want to just camp on the blood of Christ for a moment. That blood will cover every sin that is in this building. As far as God is concerned, you're forgiven. All it takes is your repentance. It is a done deal. You just say, God, I'm sorry. I want to turn around and walk the opposite direction I've been walking. And that blood has already been shed by the shepherd who became the sheep, the spotless one. He loves you, and we are redeemed by the precious blood of the great I Am, Jesus Christ. Another great need is for protection and security. The shepherd I Am revelation speaks of security. And God knows we need security in this day and time. And there are times when there is actually physical challenge and physical attack. And I just want to stop and say I thank God for the protection that is given to us as a church. And you read about news reports of gunmen and others. And it's not beyond happening any place, anywhere. We're trying to do things that we can do. Jared and others have gone to training seminars and try to help us to be as safe. But God knows we need protection in this hour. And not only physical protection, but we need a spiritual protection. And I don't know about you, and I'm thankful in one sense that it's this way. I'm not thankful for any attack. But here's the truth. There is a greater challenge, and there is an attack spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. There is pressure and there is stress as there has never been, but there's still a shepherd. Woo! With his rod and his staff, he comforts us and he protects us. And that staff can reach out and let the sheep know, I'm right here. I'm right here. But that same staff can beat away the predators and that which would try to attack you. You are not open game. You're protected by the shepherd. Your family, this is a word for somebody right now. You felt vulnerable. You are protected by the good shepherd. By the rod and by the staff. Whatever the situations are that have mounted up, whatever it is that has gone around you, I don't know them all, but God knows them all. He is the good shepherd. He's a protecting shepherd, and he has come to protect the flock of God. You're the Lord's concern. That's why we felt his presence in such a melting way a few moments ago. The Lord moves into a service like this. Or he gives a word such as this to let us know, I'm interested in your spiritual, your emotional, your mental, and your physical well-being. That's why I carry that rod. And then in Isaiah chapter 40, here's what he said in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carried them in his bosom. Sometimes he leads us. Sometimes he carries us. And when we can't walk on our own, the shepherd is here. I've got you. I see what you're going through. I see your broken heart. I hear your questions. How am I going to make it after this? What am I going to do? But the good shepherd says, you can't walk or else I lead you. But that doesn't stop my protective care. I'm the good shepherd. He just takes you up. I want you to think about right now. Haven't there been times in your life where you felt like he was carrying you in his arms? I remember after my mom passed, there were days, and I can't imagine, Dad, what you must have felt. I've been thinking about Sister Kelly Middleton since the news came yesterday. And our own congregation, Brother Jim, and Sister Betty, and Sister Ginger. But we have questions, and we don't have the strength. He's the good shepherd. And that verse says, he'll feed us. Then there comes a time when he gathers us. Ooh, I feel the gathering of the Lord. Stand with me if you would, please. I feel the gathering of the Lord. Hear me today. Don't fight his arms right now. Don't shrug off his pickup. It's the Lord reaching down to touch something that no other power or no other spirit or no other resource can touch. He's gone to the soul right now. He's gone to the spirit. And he can go to the deepest places in our life where there has been sorrow. And what I've named have just been some recent sorrows. But there's the sorrow not of death physically, but there's been the death of relationships and there's been the death of other dreams. But the good shepherd is able to pick us up, carry us close. Hallelujah. And it even says he's going to gently lead those that are with young. If something's about to happen or about to be birthed in your life, and one wrong step could mess it up, God's not going to hurry you. He's going to gently lead you. Gently. God's not a hurry up God. He considers our condition. No, I know that means we can't be lazy. That doesn't give us a license to slack or be slack in responding to God. But he knows our condition. And when we are genuinely too weak to move fast or to move at all. Come on, if you need the good shepherd in any way, I just open this altar. His arms are open. They're extended, his hands. They're strong and yet they're gentle. They're sure. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to carry you. He wants to carry you. He's the shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. If you need some new nourishment today, God, I need some strength for the journey. He's got it for you. He's the bread of life. You want a change of outlook, pray about that and then determine in your, I want to change my outlook on life. I want it to be an abundant. God, I want to depend upon you instead of depending upon myself. Don't depend upon your job. Don't depend upon how much money or how much money you do have or you don't have. Don't depend upon that. Depend on the bread of life. And as you're coming, would you just start pouring out yourself to the Lord? Let's just really talk to the Lord. That's right. Don't hold back. Don't be hesitant. Let's talk to the Lord. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to hear the sound of the sheep. Yes. God, You said if we would open our mouth that you would fill it. You would provide. And today we come open to you. We come open to you, O Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Those of you that feel to move alongside somebody, there's a ministering spirit here today. Maybe you can be the rod of the good shepherd. You might be the extension. The shepherd's hand didn't touch him, but the rod and the staff touched him. You can be the extension, maybe you're a hand on somebody. Yes. Oh, yes, I thank you, Holy Ghost. Touch us, strengthen us, help us, Lord. You know our need. You're the provider. You're the provider, God. That's it. Pray with faith for those that you are praying with, those that are in your mind or those that you're next to or nearby. That's it. Pray with faith. Nothing doubting, nothing wavering. Yes. You know, you're the good shepherd, Lord. You know exactly what we need. You know exactly what we need. Sing it with anointing. Pathways that you have never walked before. You will also walk in ways that you have never even known that they existed before. But I know they exist, and I have walked them before, and I am with you to lead and protect you as you walk through different spheres of your life. Some are walking these in their physical situation, the ailment and the disease in your body. But I am your healer and your shepherd. Others are walking emotional trails. And you have stepped into areas where there was seemingly a deep drop-off. But I have been there in the drop. And I will cause you to land on your feet because I am with you and protecting you. And I will lead you back out of that valley. For my light will shine even in the valley. I am with you. Lift up your head. Look at the shepherd. Follow me, and your footsteps will be steady and sure, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows exactly where we are. Yesterday, my wife and Andrea were both contacted via Facebook by a lady by the name of Chris. She said, I don't know if you're the Andrea and you're the Becky that I'm looking for, but I think so. Chris was the student nurse and spent what became the personal nurse. This was just her assignment as she finished up her last year of school, nursing school. Somewhere, well, I started to say a long time ago, but probably not all that long ago when Andrea was born. It's about as close to 40 years ago as you can get. I'll just give you that hint. I think I owed her one. She said, I've thought about this letter, and I've thought about you various times, but I could not find this letter until this morning. It was a note my wife had written to her, thanking her for her care and her kindness. It strengthened her at that particular time. But right now, she's on the pathway, and there's a crisis in her pathway. She's a believer. You can tell by her words and her testimony. And she was digging through an old box, and she opened what was a candy or chocolate box that she had saved. No chocolates in there, but something sweeter was in there. She found that note she'd been looking for. And God used that note to strengthen and uplift her yesterday and to read her testimony. The point is, God knows exactly where you are. He's the shepherd. He can find things we've lost. And he can restore things that has seemingly died. But I just want to leave you with this. There is hope. Not only does he give hope, he is hope. And off of that story, you never know what you're saying or what you're writing. In fact, I just feel to say, go ahead and write that note and that email you've been thinking about writing. And it may seem like it's just, well, I'm just doing something nice. Well, we are. But God's going to do something nice with our something nice. There are people that need to be led and discipled, and we're going to follow the shepherd, and we want others to follow behind us. Would you thank him for all that he means? I feel his love. I feel your peace. I feel your strength. I feel your help. I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to you, God, as we follow you. Help us to lead others. Help us to love others. Help us to protect others. Give us the spirit of the shepherd. I thank you today, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Greet one another in the name of Jesus. Thank you, guests, for coming to be with us today. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Yes.